Oscar_Nick.
I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands.
At ESPN, Hooksy.
It's amazing. Wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at. But if you get me sober, I wouldn't make a ball.
Now, back to the show.
Tampa Bay would be a logical fit, staying in the division, taking over for the Buccaneers. We'll see whether the Buccaneers decide to make a push for Teddy Bridgewater. There are a lot of options out there, but one of them clearly now is not going to be New Orleans. Drew Brees is back as the starting quarterback, same as it ever was.
Welcome back into Greg and Hooks. Of course, that yesterday, Adam Schefter with ESPN talking about both Drew Brees announcing from, by the way, an island in Hawaii. How about that? And allegedly, the island he's on, like half of it, is it's like blocked off, so only rich people can be there.
What?
Why are you laughing so much? What happened?
I just want to know what's it like, Hooks.
Yeah, Hooks. What's that about? Was Drew Brees on your island?
I didn't know that's what people do.
Weird. Hooks bought an island. He calls it the Big Island. Is what he called it. Isla de Hooksy.
De Hooksy.
Hey, no, this is great that Drew Brees is staying. The Vikings need a team to keep beating in the playoffs.
Oh,
wow.
That's good. I like it.
Well,
that's
done.
Well done. Yeah, good job there. So Drew Brees back with the Saints one more year. Seemingly they're loading up, as, of course, they've got a lot of good players on that team. They've been knocking on the door. I would put them... Without seeing how free agencies play, because free agency is about to play out, but you have a feeling Saints, Niners, probably Seahawks. They just signed Greg Olson. Keep that in your back pocket, fantasy football fans. $7 million, $5.5 million guaranteed. So he'll be their number one guy. Disley's coming back from that knee injury. So hopefully they'll have a two headed monster there at tight end. That offense is looking like it's about to be pretty nice in Seattle. But you know, some of those teams that you expect to be competing out there in the NFC. Teddy Bridgewater is an interesting case. There was rumors yesterday floating around that there's a few team execs thinking about making him a $30 million a season quarterback. $30 million right now in the NFL for quarterback would put you, and I'll bring this up real fast, it would put you, well, I say fast, it depends on how quick our computer goes. If your cap hit is $30 million, you would slide in at number 5 in the NFL.
Wow.
For money. $36 million cap hit next season for Jared Goff. Roethlisberger, $33.5 million. Kirk Cousins, $31.5 million. Now, this is cap hit rankings, okay? Some of these guys make more than this. Like Aaron Rodgers, for example, his cap hit's only $21 million, but A, that's about to spike up the next year, and B, some of that is prorated off the cap in a thing that they spread out over a bunch of years in a bonus. But just that kind of gives you an idea. By the way, Joe Flacco, 7th highest cap hit in the NFL right now.
Wow.
Good job, Broncos. That was an extension they gave him, by the way. But when you look at a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, is Teddy Bridgewater good enough in your eyes to be that guy?
God, I don't feel like he is. I don't feel like he can... What I do with Teddy is I look at him and I take him off the Saints and I put him on another team and try
like
to figure
Vikings
out.
Or
yeah,
what?
Like, well, I don't know, like the Vikings, whatever, pick one. And I don't know, because that offense they had there was really stinking good with the playmakers they had. I don't know if Teddy, and I haven't seen it, can Teddy go somewhere and elevate different players? I don't know. That's the question for me, if he's that guy. Can he elevate guys to different levels? Can he be your guy that when you need a pass or you need a whatever it is, can he be that guy? I don't know the answer to that.
Teddy Bridgewater last season, for those wondering, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 5-0. The games that he started last year was a big stretch for New Orleans. He had 67, almost 68% completion percentage. The QBR stat, if you're a big believer in QBR over passer rating, QBR 48.9, not very high. Because a lot of the stuff they were asking him to do was really simple stuff. He wasn't, they weren't having him do like the advanced sort of things. I don't know, man. The thing I always say about quarterbacks is if you're going to pay a guy to be your starting quarterback and he's going to be making top 10 quarterback pay. I would argue, without pulling out the list of quarterbacks, that somewhere around 8 to 9 QBs in the league have the ability to make people around them better. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys that are worth that paycheck to me. If I don't have one of those guys, then I better pay him at a rate that I can have other people around him. There's talk of $30 million a season for Ryan Tannehill. I cannot pay him that kind of money.
No way.
The reason I can't is if I pay him that kind of money, then I'm taking guys off the defense and I'm taking guys potentially out of the running back spot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, in that Tennessee, on that Tennessee team, one could make an argument. Derrick Henry's been there the whole time. The difference between this season and previous years was that Tannehill showed up and played well. Derrick Henry's been good the entire time he's been there, and they've been 8-8.
Every year.
Tannehill shows up, and they go on a stretch run where they win out and play all that. That should tell you right there the importance of Ryan Tannehill over Derrick Henry. Do you guys agree or disagree?
I agree with that. I agree. You got to have a guy that does that, that elevate, that can make different plays, right? Because their previous quarterback situation couldn't make those different plays.
By the way, Teddy Bridgewater, for his career, 65% completion percentage, 38 touchdowns, 25 interceptions on his career. He obviously played well last season in those five games. I question whether or not those five games are enough, because I know everybody loves them some Teddy Bridgewater. He hurt himself at practice. It's a story. People root for him. 28 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. That was his, and he averaged right at 3,000 yards passing when he was with the Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater to me.
To me, and I'm not, I don't know if I compare it, but I'm trying to figure out a comparing type situation for what Bridgewater went through in those five games, and that's what people are seeing right now, the potential maybe. Is that a lot like Nick Foles in the playoffs?
Yeah, and that was a massive mistake, what they
right?
did.
Right, it's a massive mistake, signing because he is not very good record, but he had those two runs in the playoffs with the Eagles, right? And then look what he got, and it was a massive mistake. Now, if you're the Saints, are you trying to stop Bridgewater from leaving because he might be the successor in New Orleans?
But you can't
with that
pay,
offense. Not how, pay him that much money. You don't pay him. No, you don't. But I'm saying, do you work something out with him?
Don't know. The Zeke Elliott deal last year made Zeke Elliott the highest paid. I think he's the second highest. Is he the highest paid? He's the highest paid running back.
I think so.
This year he won't be because of the escalators in his contract. But Zeke Elliott making, on average, it was like 15 and a half, somewhere in that neighborhood per season for his contract. Derrick Henry said that's the floor.
What?
He said, start me there. We'll work our way up.
That's crazy. But here's the deal. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what just happened, the run he just went on, right? He knows what he's playing. Henry's got leverage. And he's playing it to his on his behalf. That is a true move, I think, by Henry.
For his career, so we know, Derrick Henry in his career, he's played four seasons in the NFL. He's averaging 4.8 yards per carry. He's right under 10 touchdowns a season for his average. He's at 38. He has had 490, 744, 1,059. And then he hit his stride this year with 1,540. He also had 85 more carries than he's ever had in a season. So they bumped up, you know, ramped up his carries. As far as receptions goes, his career high this year, 18. So he's really a non-factor in the passing game.
And he's 27 some change, right? 27 some change. And you got to watch the mileage that could put on those tires. There's a lot.
The hard part about, to me, about Derrick Henry is, like, let's say I told you, trying to find a good example here. So, like, all right, so here I'll just use this as an example. I'm just grabbing a person randomly. So Mark Ingram, who played for the Ravens, Mark Ingram made, like, it was like $5 million this year was how much he made. Mark Ingram, in 15 games, he had 100 less carries. He ran for 1,018 yards and 10 touchdowns. So less carries, which means you got to have another player somewhere. In this case, it was your quarterback, but on most teams, it'll be another running back. So you can add that salary to his $5 million. Mm-hmm. And he had 500 less yards and 6 less touchdowns. he also, if Henry's making the money he's asking for, is about, it's going to end up being about $11 million less.
Okay.
So that would be the argument of going with something like a Mark Ingram as opposed to your running back who led the league. I don't know.
I don't know. It's an interesting play, but I think he's making a power play right now by putting it out there.
I don't personally think in the NFL anymore you can afford, because like look at this list like right now. Okay, so on this list of running backs from last season, Zeke Elliott is the highest paid one on the list. He finished fourth in the league, 1,350 yards rushing, right? He made $15 million last year. Mm-hmm. You had Derrick Henry on a rookie contract, Nick Chubb on a rookie contract, Christian McCaffrey on a rookie contract, Chris Carson on a rookie contract at $5 million. Lamar Jackson, he's an anomaly. Leonard Fournette, rookie contract. Josh Jacobs, rookie contract. Joe Mixon, rookie contract. Dalvin Cook, rookie contract. Marlon Mack, rookie contract. Aaron Jones, rookie contract.
Wow. Hold on.
Carlos Hyde, $1.2 million per season. Mark Ingram II coming in at 14th is the next guy that's making non-rookie contract. He was $5 million. Philip Lindsay, rookie contract. Saquon Barkley, rookie contract. Sony Michel, rookie contract.
Wow.
Adrian Peterson, veteran making $3 million a season.
Mm-hmm.
David Montgomery, rookie contract. Todd Gurley rounds out the top 20 highest paid running back in the league.
Wow.
It's hard on a running back, man.
It's really hard on him.
Like I don't know if I'm New Orleans, right? New Orleans is set up in an interesting spot here because Drew Brees says he's playing one more year, right?
Okay, one more.
At the end of this season, that's $30 million off the books. You got to figure out what you're doing at quarterback. I suspect they draft somebody this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a rookie contract quarterback. At that moment, I have no problem paying Alvin Kamara because he's making money while you got a quarterback not making money.
Yeah, that's his time.
I'm okay with that. If you can get a running back between $5 and $7 million who's going to be able to put up stuff, like if David Johnson ends up leaving, getting cut, whatever, and you can sign him for like $7 million, $5 million,
it's a great play.
But there is a law of diminishing returns eventually when you can draft these guys. I just went through the top 20. There are only three dudes not on rookie deals.
Yeah. Boy.
And remember, some of the rookies are cheap. Some of them aren't. You know, Saquon Barkley makes like $8 million a season because
yeah.
he was a top five pick.
Top five pick.
Sony Michel is like at three and some change. So, and he was at the end of the first round. Mm-hmm. So that tells you how quick it drops off.
Yeah, it drops off quick. It's almost like probably halfway through.
It's a great value.
Yes.
Christian McCaffrey, right?
Rookie contract.
But he's, next year is when he starts doing this. Are you guys, how do you feel about Christian McCaffrey? Would you, if you're the Panthers, sign him long term?
He's one I'm paying.
How come?
Just because he does so much. There's so much of that offense that he's a part of. He can catch. He can run.
Well, he's a 2,000-yard season guy. Yeah.
And he doesn't take the big hits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's key for those guys. He's not, and again, I think the difference is he's a big high-end touch guy, but it's not high-end touch. It's just on the run.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more he does. He's such much more dynamic in that offense. And I'm paying him.
There's a good chance that Carolina is going to be in the I have a rookie contract quarterback situation mm-hmm. too. So that could play a nice spot. I'll tell you the team that's kind of in a tough spot right now, and they have to find a way to capitalize ASAP. Cleveland needs to pull their heads out of their asses.
Yes.
Because Nick Chubb is going to break the bank after this season
yes.
if he wants. Because here's the difference. Nick Chubb was drafted later, so Nick Chubb's contract will come up. He's still fairly young. He does have the knee injury history. He's not involved in the passing game either.
Nope. And he's been a guy that, you know, it's one of those situations, if Cleveland doesn't clean up the situation, he's a quiet guy down there. You wonder how much he wants to stay in that environment.
Here's another difference, too. And I think age is a big factor in this. Like, Zeke Elliott was 25 when he signed his deal. Nick Chubb will be 25. Derrick Henry's 27.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference there.
Well, because we know that drop. And he's a heavy carry guy.
A couple of the other guys, too, to keep an eye on. I'll be curious to see what the market for Leonard Fournette is after this year. This is his last year on a deal.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one.
Like, you, I think Leonard Fournette's going to get treated, although he had a lot of catches last year. His total, he had, I want to say, off the top of my head, I want to say he had like 80 catches, which sounds insane for Leonard Fournette, but I'm almost positive that last year that he looked like a complete back. Let me double check here real quick. I'm almost positive that he had himself a season.
Fournette is just that consistency on him.
Healthy, too.
Yeah, staying healthy, and can he do that year over year?
76 catches last year.
Yeah, good. Can he do that year after year?
Right. I have a feeling Leonard Fournette is going to get the Melvin Gordon treatment, and we'll see how that plays out for him. But it just, I don't know, that running back spot, Tennessee's in a really bad spot right now. There's good spots to be in with running backs and having a stud, and then there's bad ones that affect your salary cap, and they're in a really rough,
tough spot there.
Rough spot. With Tom Brady, we were talking about this before the show. How much, when you hear all this stuff about Brady and like where he's going to be and he's got to have weapons to win and all these things, but at the same time, a guy who consistently has made like between 12 and then up to like 19 million a season, now he's asking for, I want that 30 spot. You know, I want to be a guy who gets paid over 30 for 1 year. You can't have your cake and eat it too in that sense. Mm-hmm. And he seems to want to. What makes sense? Where, who makes sense for him if that's what's going to happen?
Because
New England, you're about to spend the money they're going to spend on free agents if they're going to do that. How do you improve that roster?
I don't think it's New England. See, I asked this question when we were talking about it. If him asking 30, you know, I mean, whatever it is that him wanting just out of New England? Is that him saying, because it's not possible to do what they need to get done with him making 30 in New England. He won't get those playmakers that he wants. I just wonder if it's one of those things.
Unless he's expecting him to use draft capital and be good at good with rookies. I
don't see it.
Like, N'Keal Harris is going to be a good player next year, I think, for him at receiver. And he's got Edelman, of course, already coming back, and he's got a whole grip of running backs there. I mean, hell, they had the Alabama running back Harris, didn't even hardly play all year. He was a third-round pick, so they have another guy there. Rex Burkhead is going to be a guy to watch, by the way. Either him or Sony Michel.
They're going to be expendable.
Yeah, Sony, though, they put a first-round pick capital in. So Burkhead might be the odd man out, but I thought that last year, too. No, I don't understand where it is that Brady could go. Like the Chargers, for example, they were paying their QB $20 million. Brady goes there for $30 million. That basically means Melvin Gordon's gone at that point. You got to re-sign Eckler. How do you improve an offensive line that was bad already? How do you shore up some of the spots on that team? You know what I mean? Like, they have some talented guys, but that would mean Hunter Henry's probably gone. If there's one guy you'd want on that roster, it'd be Hunter Henry if you're bringing in Brady.
Yeah. Could it be out in Vegas?
Maybe.
They got a running back on a rookie contract type deal.
And they want to pay him.
They got to trade their.
And they'll pay him.
So if they trade their quarterback away to clear out space, maybe. Their offensive line sucks. They'd have to get a new one. They got to get a new offensive line.
The money would be there.
And they got Waller and they got Jacobs. Their receivers suck. So they'd got to find him a receiver.
Yeah, they have some
dollars. They're in a good spot, though.
I think that kid
Riggs from Alabama, Riggs, I think he's going to be a Raider.
And then how many draft picks do they have in the first round?
A bunch.
They have a ton. That'd be an interesting spot to look at because of the money.
Yeah. The thing is, though, is that's a bad team. And it's a situation where you'd have to replace a lot of guys. But you'd be swinging for the fences.
You'd be swinging for the fences, and if Brady went, could Brady bring guys with him? Would they go play with Brady?
And you get to open that new stadium, you know?
You get to go tell everybody, hey, we're going to rebuild this thing and try to beat Pat Mahomes in his division.
Hey, you should go to that Chiefs-Raiders game in Vegas.
If you're paying, I'm going. You got it, buddy. Don't tease me with a great time there. I'll do that. There's a lot of cornerbacks who will be on the move, so keep an eye for that. And then, of course, with the draft coming up, it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's take a really quick break. We'll come back, get into more sports talk. New transfer rule might be coming. Seems like more and more people are open to this idea. Want to ask what you think. Should a player be able to one-time transfer? One time. Transfer wherever they want. What do you guys think? Back after this.